Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Mike Eccles, senior correspondent here in Prague, filling in for our regular host, Steve Gutterman. Today on the podcast, the Normandy Summit. For the first time in more than 3 years, the leaders of Ukraine, Russia, France, and Germany will be meeting in an effort to find some way to resolve the war in Ukraine. Now in its sixth year, the war has killed more than 13,000 people and displaced more than a million. Ukrainians are sick of the war. That's part of the reason they backed Volodymyr Zelensky to be Ukraine's new president this spring. Russians are sick of the war, though for different reasons. The Kremlin appears to be sick of the war. The Europeans are sick of it. Will next Monday's meeting in Paris yield a major breakthrough? Joining me today to answer this question and to help us decide whether to get our hopes up is Mark Grotov, a sharp-eyed veteran correspondent with RFERL's Russian service. Mark, dobro pozhalovat.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. First, I would like to say that I'm not quite agree with you about Russia is being sick with sanctions. Russia is being sick with war, because I think Russia, what's Russia really sick of is sanctions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they don't care about Ukrainian people and the war. So the only thing they care of is lifting the sanctions.
Let's come back to that.
Yeah,
section.
We'll come back to that. I would like to make a small announcement, which is very, very close to our topic. On November 30, an elderly woman, she called Baba Masha. Her real name is Maria Gorpinich. Died in the small Ukrainian village of Opitne. In Ukrainian, Opitne in Russian. This village is situated just near the former Donetsk airport runway end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only like 37 people live there now.
Mm-hmm.
She's like 80 years old. She was very famous. A lot of journalists visited her in recent years. And on Saturday, there was a fire in her house. The fire was caused by using some. They have no electricity there, so they have to use a fire, open fire,
mm-hmm.
to have a light, to have some heating.
Heat, yeah.
And the fire started in her house, and the fire squad was not. It was not possible for fire squad to go there because of the security reasons, because shellings often go there, and it's not really safe
it's
there.
Not safe, yeah.
So she just was. She just got. Burned with her house, and it's a very sad story. But this story shows all the, at one glimpse, it shows all the tragedy of this war, which continues right now, right here.
It's a human face. It puts a human face on the war. It's easier to say that, well, 13,000 people died, but here's a woman who has
and
died
her,
under ridiculous circumstances.
Her husband died in 2015 during the shelling, and her son also died like in 2015. So she lost first. She lost her husband. Then she lost her son. Now she died because of all this. So that definitely means that everybody is sick of war in Ukraine. And Zelensky landslide win of the elections also shows that. But if we look at the latest sociology. We will see that at least 20% of the Ukrainian population still is against what we can call peace at every possible price. But yes, half of the population want to get some peace agreement with Russia. So definitely this is the chance for Zelensky to fulfill their expectations, the Normandy summit.
So the summit starts on Monday, and it's, as we said, it's the first time that the heads of state from these four nations have met in 3 years. And it's basically a way for diplomats to try to get the sides to adhere to the Minsk Accords, which, as people remember, were the real concrete efforts by negotiators to find some sort of lasting resolution to the war in Ukraine. The accords have never been implemented. But they are considered the best and perhaps the only opportunity to try and resolve the conflict. So Monday in Paris, the Normandy summit, we have President Macron, German Chancellor Merkel, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and Vladimir Putin from Moscow. What do you think is going to happen on Monday?
I think it's all is going to be around the main issue, the border control and the elections. Because you can see that Zelensky, I think today or yesterday, he said that he's not happy with Minsk agreements at all. So when he said that about this, his commitment to Steinmeier's formula, mm-hmm. you remember there were large protests in Kyiv, and now the also sociology shows that his rating shrinks rapidly. He lost like 20% of his support.
Let me interrupt you for a second. The Steinmeier formula is very controversial in Kyiv. There were protests in Kyiv, people saying this is capitulation. And particularly among veterans groups and nationalist groups, they have accused Zelensky of capitulating by agreeing to the Steinmeier formula. And this is why, as you say, that his sociological ratings have dropped.
But Steinmeier's formula is part of the Minsk agreements.
Right.
So now he says that he don't like all Minsk agreements at all. It's very interesting. Before, just a week before the Normandy summit, saying things like that. So maybe one of the reasons is that he understands that he's losing support. But the main problem from the first day of the signing of Minsk agreements and till now is the border control and elections. So there is Kyiv's point that there should be border control at the first hand, and after that the elections under the Ukrainian law, because Ukrainian legislations means that there should be no foreign military power on mm-hmm. the territory.
Right.
And Russia says that we don't have any, so, just OSCE will recognize these elections legit, and that's it.
That's it.
So that's the main problem. And Zelensky should balance on this. So on the one point, he needs to come from Paris with something to show to his people that he didn't finally surrender to Putin, that he is not going to give Ukraine into Putin's hand, to capitulate. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he really needs some progress there, not only just building some bridge or pushing away two sides for a few kilometers. He needs to show really some progress on the road to peace. That's hard, if not impossible, if not possible at all, because at my personal point, the Minsk agreements contradicts themselves in this issue, because mm-hmm. What can you do if Russia says that they don't have any military power there? You can present some evidence, but Russia will deny this evidence. So I don't know, really. I think that will be a very, very hard and complex bargain about how these elections will be conducted. I think they will be conducted there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the elections, everybody understands that they should be, because otherwise it's just dead end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very interesting if both sides, I mean, Ukraine and Russia, will manage to get some agreement, which will make them available, both of them available, to show to their people that they came from Paris with some win, that they won these Paris negotiations.
Right.
Finally, I think there will be elections. There will be elections with some maybe some OSCE watchers on the border. But I don't think Russia will I don't think Russia will finally give the border control to Ukraine before the elections, or I don't think they will do even after that.
Let's come back to your point that you made at the very outset. I mean, I opened with the premise that Russia is sick of the war, and as you pointed out rightfully, that it's in fact the Kremlin is sick of the sanctions that were imposed by the European Union and the United States as a result of the war. Moscow wants those sanctions lifted. So that's, in your opinion, that's driving the calculus. That's the main calculus for Moscow, is how can we come away from the Normandy summit looking like we're a good player in this process.
Yeah.
So to convince Macron and Merkel to lift the sanctions.
Yeah, I also should say that the main point for Zelensky will be to retain Macron's and Merkel's support, mm-hmm. because Poroshenko had this support. And there is a lot of criticism of Zelensky being losing this support after the elections, being not paying enough attention for keeping this international support for Ukraine. So probably this will be one of the main goals for him at the Paris summit. But I think Russia will get at least something from European leaders. Especially we should take in mind the conflict between European leaders and United States,
yes.
for example,
yes.
now, which is ongoing now because of this Nord Stream project. And European leaders, in their order, will in their turn try to give something to Putin, a little bit to Zelensky, for everybody to leave Paris with something,
yeah.
and for these elections finally to be done in next year. Will the sanctions will be lifted after that? Maybe some sanctions will be lifted, yes. And we don't know which one will be lifted, which one will be kept. Probably the Crimean sanctions will be kept, but Crimean sanctions are not the most harmful for Russia. I'm not sure if at all European sanctions are very harmful for Russia, as you can see from the same Nord Stream project. I think U.S. sanctions in this case are much more important, but... yes, there will be some compromise, I think, after that.
Just quickly, with Nord Stream, just so people are up to speed, of course, Nord Stream is the undersea pipeline under the Baltic Sea that will bring Russian natural gas directly to Germany, into Europe. The Trump administration has fought pretty vociferously against the effort. They've threatened all sorts of targeted sanctions, targeting creditors, targeting ships that lay the pipelines. The Europeans, Merkel in particular, their position are like, hey, you know, it's good for the European economy. And there's a rift that's broken out between, in particular, the Merkel administration, the Trump administration about Nord Stream. The Zelensky administration, of course, views Nord Stream as being a direct blow to Ukraine's role as a transit for Russian gas headed to Europe. So... of course, the Americans are not participating in the Normandy summit directly, but they will loom large over the process.
Maybe Europeans will try to help Zelensky to have some agreement with Putin about the gas transit through Ukraine. I mean, maybe they will try to make it a part of a deal. I don't know. Officially, it's not confirmed. It's just rumors. But maybe they will try to settle things like, okay, Russia, you signed some agreement with Ukraine about gas transit for next 10 years, and we build Nord Stream 2.
And that's coming up. There's a gas agreement that's being negotiated as we speak between Ukraine's gas company, Naftogaz, and Gazprom, and Russia. That agreement expires on January 1st, and... as people recalled, about 10 years ago, there was gas shut off to Europe in the middle of the winter because of a dispute between Ukraine and Russia over gas supplies. So that's an interesting point. Maybe there will be a side deal to have Ukraine and Russia reach a long-term transit deal, and that will then influence how the Normandy summit...
And I should say Ukraine now has very strong cards because you know about this international court decision.
It's the arbitration ruling.
Ruler, which ruled that Gazprom owes Naftogaz like $8 billion?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. So, yeah, probably. I think... What Kremlin wants, first of all, from these negotiations, from all of this story, nothing changed since 2000, early 2013. They try to torpedo the signing of association documents between Kyiv and European Union.
Right.
They failed in it, but association is just association. What they want is to keep Ukraine in its political and financial orbit with these Ukrainian old elites, oligarchs. It's not very hard, as you see from on the example of Kolomoisky.
Yes,
they want to keep this country as unstable as possible, making it even theoretically impossible to join NATO or European Union. So to have this buffer zone,
mm-hmm.
I think that was the main goals of Moscow in 2013. That's the main goals of Moscow nowadays.
Nothing has changed in many ways.
Okay,
well, that's all good to keep in mind heading into Monday's summit. Mark, thanks for joining us today. That's it for us, folks. This is RFERL's Week Ahead in Russia. Thank you all for tuning in.